Hello and welcome to the Noise Brigade. We're going to do our WrestleMania recap. This will be, I guess we'll start where the fucking hell that sucked. All right. Let me try that again.
You don't want to keep on going?
Yeah, you know what? Screw it. Let's keep on going.
All right.
All right. So I'm Bobby. You're Tom.
Hello again.
Let's get moving on night one. And it goes about, this is probably the best open that we could have considering how
it's actually great considering that we're talking about WrestleMania. So,
so we had some Google documents going. It's been our kind of way that we roll with this stuff lately. And we were typing notes back and forth. And the first thing I have on here is, good God, was the King terrible on the pre-show?
Yeah, and I didn't see as much of it as you did, but the little bit that I caught, I've always liked Jerry Lawler. I got to meet him once, got a picture with him. So I have an appreciation for him. I just always liked him. But his humor is not dating very well at all.
No. And I love the King. You know, the King's great, but Jesus. I'm trying to remember what was the one he was like, if Braun Strowman was a flower, he'd be a blooming idiot or something like that.
Yeah, that's just, it's not good. I mean, that's his sense of humor.
Right.
Just not playing well right now. Especially, maybe it's just because we've heard it for so many years, you know, same old shtick. And after a while it's going to end up running its course. And I hate to say that because I really love Lawler, you know?
Right.
I've always been a fan of him, you know, back to the JR and Lawler days, just announcing, you know, I thought they were great. And now we have whatever we have now with him, and it's a shame.
It is. But the funniest thing to me was, I mean, obviously not his jokes, but the lightning delay.
Yeah. So it's funny. We have what basically they mention it. It's 13 months. And 13 months and a day. And that was the last time that they had like an actual audience. And of course, the show they have is outside. And
right.
It was storming.
Yeah. So one thing that went well with the opening was BB Rexha did an awesome job of America the Beautiful. And I mean, she's gorgeous. Her voice is gorgeous. She did an outstanding job. I was super happy with how she did that.
Yeah, that was really good. And the guitarist too. And I didn't catch her name, but
Ashlyn. Oh no, yeah, the guitarist that was with BB Rexha. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, dude, she ripped. It was great.
Yeah, no, that was good. That was a good open.
Yeah. So, which we're gonna try and fire through this since there was two nights, and you know we've got copious notes here. So let's get into the first match. First match was Bobby Lashley versus Drew McIntyre. So I was very surprised with this one.
Yeah, it's strange. First of all, I was surprised they even opened up with this WWE Championship match. I thought that was a bit odd, but I understand it because they kind of bookended it, obviously, with Night 2 with being the Universal title.
Right.
But you have a note here, and yeah, it was. It was pretty much a clean win.
Yeah, I mean, you had the, you know, MVP kind of was a little bit involved, but not much at all. And honestly, I really expected the Hurt Business breaking up a few weeks ago on Raw to be a swerve and to be kind of like, so Drew McIntyre wasn't thinking about Shelton Benjamin and Cedric Alexander, easy for me to say. And I figured they'd come out at some point and they'd end up helping Lashley get the win, but no, it was pretty on the nose. It was pretty on the level, and you know, it was a good match. I just wasn't expecting it to go the way it went.
No, and they're both obviously very solid workers, and have both been for a very long time. I think those two are honestly peas in a pod with the amount of, you know, work ethic. The fact that I could see that they do have that leadership style, especially, you know, in the locker room. So they're, you know, they work very well together. And if you hear that in the background, that's my cat meowing. but no, good match. And I was surprised too. It was, you know, It was a clean win.
Yeah. So next up, we had the women's tag matches, and it was a series of tag matches with basically, you know, as you won, you went on and faced a new team. And it started off, it was the Riot Squad versus Billy Kay and Carmella. And, you know, for the most part, the matches were really good. There were some awkward botches here and there, but by and large, everything was pretty well done. I would have liked to see the Riot Squad win, but they look pretty, they looked strong, you know.
Yeah, that was funny. You know, they threw together a lot of those teams in that. At least to me, they did. I know they've all worked together, and I'll give them credit on, you know, the match quality in that whole tag team turmoil, as they call it, was good. I don't know that, and I hate to be this way, I don't know that that's WrestleMania worthy. It's fun to watch, but they throw that stuff out on Raw and SmackDown so often that it was just kind of like, oh, they're doing this again. You know, it's just it was a shame they didn't have like a good solid build, you know, to what we had. And we'll talk about this, you know, later with the title match on night two. I would have loved to have seen like a real huge build for that, because that was a good, you know, Tamina and Natalya against Jackson Baszler. I think that was a solid four for that, but the turmoil itself is kind of like, I take it or leave it.
Yeah, and I mean, we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about a couple things. The first thing being Mandy Rose slipping and falling on the way down to the ring, which thankfully she wasn't injured, at least that we know. She was able to go into the match and do that going forward. But there was a couple times that the screen had to go black there.
Yeah, it was funny. I didn't even catch it. You did, and because I was watching it so fast. But the TV that I was watching on, I was actually in a hotel in Huntington, West Virginia, and the TV was just not the nicest of quality. But I was just, you know, hooked my laptop up to it, and it just went black. And I thought, oh well, you know, maybe there's some issue there. But that wasn't the reason. There was no issue, was there?
There was an issue.
But not a tech issue.
No, it was not a technical issue. It was a more of a wardrobe malfunction on Dana Brooks' part. It happened a couple times. So, you know, a little extra there. But overall, I mean, that is neither here nor there with the quality of the wrestling. The wrestling was good. I think that the Tamina and Natalya team is really good. It's a strong team. I'm excited to see where they take them going forward. Hopefully they actually treat these tag teams. They really have three teams coming out of this that looked strong and that they could build off of in the division. And that's the Riot Squad, obviously, Tamina and Natalya, and then Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax. And honestly, what I would really love for them to do is just put the Iconics back together. Put Billy Kay and Peyton Royce back together. Let them be a tag team. They're good that way. You know, let's stop screwing around. Let's put them together the way where they should be and move forward and have a good working women's tag team division.
Yeah. Because right now, and I really like the concept that they had, you know, where it could jump back and forth between Raw, SmackDown, and NXT. But it doesn't work when there's no one really working together with any kind of frequency. You don't have any opponents built, you know, right, to the level of the champions. It's tough.
Absolutely. So I guess after that was Cesaro versus Rollins. And, you know, we knew unless somehow like the roof caved in, these guys were going to put on a good match. There was no surprise there, none whatsoever. And I mean, Cesaro is one of my favorites on the roster. I knew he was going to kill it.
Yeah. And I, you know, you wrote this and I feel the same exact way. You know, I am super glad he got his win there. And this didn't even dawn on me because they mentioned a couple times that, you know, he had never had a singles match at WrestleMania.
Yeah, I mean, he was with, I'm pretty sure he and Sheamus had a match as the Bar. But yeah, he's always been with the League of Nations or with, who was he with? But he's always been in tag teams or multi-man matches and stuff like that. The Andre the Giant Rumble, all that stuff. But he's never had his singles match. And it's amazing to think somebody as talented as him hasn't been able to get that WrestleMania moment until now. But now he has it, and hopefully this is just the beginning for him. And it goes to, you know, Vince has his guys, and Vince wants certain things, and maybe he doesn't meet all of them, but the guy can go. That's the bottom line. Yeah. And you know, from the indies all the way to now, he's just been a great wrestler, and he should be able to hopefully continue to show the world why he deserves to be there.
Exactly. And, you know, I'm glad that he was able to have that match with Rollins, you know, who's, you know, has a ton of WrestleMania moments and himself. And it was nice and I know Rollins really didn't have any head in any of the title pictures this time around, but it was nice for him to work with Cesaro and then, you know, let Cesaro go over. You know, not saying that that's Rollins' choice necessarily, but it's good to see Cesaro get that win.
Right. And I got to give Rollins credit. You know, he's not a guy that I'm a huge fan of, and it's not even his wrestling. I think his wrestling is good. It's just his Twitter presence. He's a guy where, you know, a victim of social media, where I just don't really like what he has to say on Twitter. And so I don't really dig his character anymore. I think his character is good. I don't like seeing him on my TV, which is what he's supposed to do. So good for him for being good at his job. But man, he had me cracking up during the backstage segment when he was calling Cesaro Zazaro or whatever.
Yeah. He's you know, I'm not his number one fan by any stretch, and I really never have been. But I do like his in-ring work and his personality. I take it or leave it. But he's a, you know, A-plus caliber in the ring, and I don't think anyone can take that away from him. And he has been for many years at this point, too, even prior to his time in the WWE. So,
right. Now, speaking of backstage segments, we had one with the Dirty Dogs. So for those of you who don't know, Dolph Ziggler and Bobby Roode, and we had the notes in here about his hair, man. Like, he had these like studs in his hair. Like, it, like his head was part of a leather jacket, and he had these studs coming out of it. And you had written someone had fun with the bedazzler, and that's pretty much what it looked like. I mean,
it looked exactly like that. It just looked like someone got a hold of that bedazzling gun and just all over his head. I don't know, it was weird.
You know, and then speaking of the backstage segments, New Day had reunited backstage at one point during the rain delay, and man, Big E had me ready to run through a wall. He was on fire, and just the promos, those guys, their mic work has always been top notch, and it's not going to change. It's always going to be. And, you know, I just love anytime that they're on the screen together, you've got my attention. And so I loved seeing that. And then that actually brings us into our next match.
Yeah. New Day versus Styles and Omos.
The giant Omos.
7'3".
Dude, and he looks every freaking bit of it. Like, good God. I mean, and I put in here, what is he wearing? It didn't matter what he was wearing, because the dude just walks in the ring and he's just towering over people. Just absolutely ridiculous. Like,
exactly. And he's just big. He's built, you know, it almost felt like he was not as wide as he was tall, but, you know, put him when he was standing next to Styles, I was like, Styles looks like a kid, and Styles is not small.
No. And that's one of the things, you know, this was a good match. This was, you know, some of the notes we had in here, you know, they would, you know, you put in here, Xavier Woods said to AJ Styles at one point, you're not a tag team wrestler. We're cutting the ring in half. And that's exactly what they did. And it was slightly heelish tactics that were going on by the New Day. They had cut off the ring. They were keeping Styles on their side. And they weren't letting him get to Omos to make the tag. And once they did slip up, I mean, you could see the fear in their eyes.
Oh, yeah. It was over. I mean, the minute that they did, that guy, yeah, he's agile, he's mobile, he's big, he's strong. I don't even, you know, it's funny. Vince always has his thing for the monsters, you know, and I think that's why over the years you saw, you know, Hogan getting fed the monsters, because he always, you know, whether it was, you know, the one man gang or, you know, Earthquake or those things. In 2021, one man gang and Earthquake look like almost, you know, the times have changed. I would be generally petrified. You know, that guy is legit. You know, it's wow. I was impressed. I don't even care what he's like on the mic. I don't need to know, because he says it with just by showing up.
Right. Right. There's no, you know, he could just come out there and just not say anything for the next 3 years and just walk out, crush people, and walk back out of the ring.
Exactly. I don't know. I didn't know at first because, you know, obviously, like you alluded to, you know, the New Day had and Styles were in there for what, like 85% of the match, because Styles could never get that tag in because the New Day's, you know, basically cut the ring in half. And wow, like you put in here, he's like Bane. And yeah, I mean, that's exactly like he is. It lets you kind of go back to watching wrestling through the eyes of when you first started watching it, and you see like the Undertaker, and you see these big guys that are just awe-inspiring, and that they're almost impervious.
Right.
I can't wait to see where this goes with him. But he'll probably end up jobbing out in a month. I don't know.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, one of the cool things, one of the things that I liked with what they did is they did have him, and the Bane thing comes, you know, not just because of how physically imposing he looks, but they had him picking up Woods and Kofi and doing backbreakers on them. And it was literally like, oh God, he's going to snap their spines over his knee. And,
yeah,
you know, to get a little down the nerd rabbit hole there, that's what Bane did to Batman in the comic books. When he debuted, he picked up Batman, he picked up Bruce Wayne, and snapped him over his knee. And then that led to this whole storyline. But
that's a great catch too, considering that, you know, they're fighting the New Day, who are obvious comic book nerds. So maybe there's something with that.
Maybe we'll have to see. Well, speaking,
I'm not expecting them to come out like Batman. I'm just, you know,
no, but that, I mean, hey, I would take it. I would totally take that, like a Halloween Havoc, and they have the New Day come out in like Batman and Robin, and then Omos comes out in Bane's costume. Dude, I'm there for it. I'm absolutely there for it. I don't think it's going to go that far. Like, I don't think this feud is going to go till October, but hey, if it does and that's what we get out of it, cool.
Exactly. So,
but speaking
moving forward though, and I think this was kind of interesting because this was a weird thing when I was watching this, but it works really well talking about it podcast wise. So we just got done talking about one gigantic guy and going right over to another gigantic guy.
Oh, you mean Yawn?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So clearly
big country.
Not a fan of Braun Strowman. I'm just, there's nothing about him I like. I hate the stupid train whistle they do when he runs around the ring. That's one of the dumbest gimmicks in wrestling. I mean, he's obviously talented because he's in WWE, you know, and he could clearly beat me to a pulp if he wanted to. That said, dude, this is my bathroom break. Anytime that Braun is on TV, I feel free to get up and do whatever it is that I need to do. But we had Shane versus Braun in a cage match. You know, and again, Shane is another one. Shane has for years been an outstanding on-air talent. He's done stuff in the ring that you just never expected he would be able to do. And he clearly has a love of the business and has a talent for the business. But man, I just do not care to see him on my TV anymore at all.
No, and the what's even worse was the build to this was terrible. Braun, you're so stupid, you know. And you know, I put a note in there. This match should have been for the Be a Star title. Yeah. Because for years, the WWE has promoted the anti-bullying thing, which is phenomenal. I think it's great. I'm not mocking that. But then they throw the storyline in there of Shane, you know, calling Braun stupid and all that. And it's like, you know, look, if you want to talk about an overplayed stereotype, yeah, big man stupid. There you go.
Right.
You know, I'm not a Braun fan, but, you know, come on. You know, like, can we do a little better than this? And poor Shane, you know, love him to death. Always have, always appreciated the spots he can put in, and you know, some of the work that he obviously, well, not some of the work, but a lot of the work that he puts in. You know, especially during like some of these WrestleMania matches he's had. And I didn't like this one at all. And it's not because of Braun necessarily, and it's not because of him. The steel cage match doesn't work for me anymore. I just honestly think a traditional cage match at this point is just, it's out. You know, I think it's been, and I hate to be this way, but I think it's ruined with seeing so many great Hell in a Cell matches or the War Game style matches or the Elimination Chamber matches. You get back into traditional steel cage. There were some great ones before, you know, you and I were even around. But now, you know, especially with these two, I don't know. Doesn't work for me.
Yeah, I'm 100% in agreement on that. And, you know, there's just this, I don't know, you get to the point where it's hard to suspend disbelief in these matches. The cage matches, because you always have somebody doing something stupid. Like, all right, so at one point, and I have the notes in here, at one point they climbed up to the top, right? Braun catches Shane. Well, Shane, first of all, Shane was over the top, sticks his stupid hand back through and starts waving bye-bye stupid at Braun. Braun runs over, grabs his hand, forces him back into the ring, throws him off the top, and then proceeds to say, who's stupid now? Oh, no, I'm sorry. He ripped the fence off and then yes. was able to catch him and pull him back in. But then Braun climbs up to the top and says, who's stupid now? And instead of jumping out or climbing down and winning the match, he jumps back down inside.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, Braun. I'm still thinking that you haven't dispelled the myth that you're stupid if you're that close to winning the match and then decide to jump back in and continue it.
And that goes with my thing about traditional cage matches. And you said it right there. The flow is always so screwed up. But, and you said it. It's so obvious whenever someone can just climb out or walk out. You know, but it's, you know, just not – not good.
Right. So, speaking of things that were stupid and didn't really work, why didn't Bayley have a match on this?
I don't know, but I certainly didn't like anything that she did, you know, on the ramp or backstage, or I didn't get it. And I really liked her when she was doing her bit in NXT when she first came up. And then the heel turn was pretty decent because it was something different. I don't know what this is, but whatever she's doing, it doesn't work for me. I'm not a fan of it at all.
And I love Bayley, man. Bayley's a great wrestler. She's a great talent. She's a great, you know, she's good on the mic. why they couldn't figure out something for her to do, unless she's injured and they're just not saying it, I don't understand how creative couldn't have something better for her to do than be this annoying backstage presence.
Yeah. Anyone else, give them that, not her. They don't even put her on the show if that's what they're going to give her.
Right. You know? I would have rather not seen her and then had her use that going forward as like the catalyst for some rampage she goes on through the women's division, start on the Raw that airs on Monday after WrestleMania. You know, play it up that way. Do something. Don't just make her this joke. You've completely taken any credibility she had and thrown it out the window.
Exactly. I don't know. I didn't get that with her both nights. It's terrible. But I do have some kind of random note in here, and I assume this is because this was at the spot where they did the 2020 Hall of Fame inductees. I could be wrong. But I do have a thing in there about the NWO music hitting. And I'm always a sucker for that. It just kind of brings me back. And I never watched a ton of WCW. I watched enough of it. I went back later on and watched a lot more of the, you know, the documentary type stuff on it. But always so cool. Love seeing those guys. They all looked decent. Hall.
Except for Razor, man. Scott Hall looked so bad, dude.
Yeah.
It's terrible. But yeah, I mean, everybody, even Hogan looked better than Scott Hall, and that's a travesty.
That's saying something. Yeah.
But anyway, then we're on to the bleeping bunnies.
Yeah. The first part of this was, and you know, bunnies, put a bunch of bunnies out there, pal. The audience is going to love it.
That's such good shit, pal.
I understand the first part of that.
I understand. Well, no, I mean, I get it, because it was supposed to be like a live performance of Hey Hop Hop or whatever the hell the Miz and Morrison's Bad Bunny joke song was, his parody song. But good God, man, that was freaking. Oh, God, it was terrible.
That part was atrocious. Now, however, you and I went back and forth a little bit on this, talking about, you know, why is he Bad Bunny even here? And yeah, you know, he brings people out, you know, the outside eyes of WWE. And I kind of reflected upon this part because I realized that this is the first WrestleMania that was on Peacock. So you have what I assume is a much wider audience base. From people that, you know, had subscribed to Peacock just for that content. And they're like, oh, WrestleMania. I'm going to check that out. I haven't watched that since Saturday Night's Main Event in 1991, you know? and then it's like Bad Bunny. It's like, they maybe you kind of cross into different things. It's like, I don't know. It's like people that maybe haven't had their eyes on the product in a while and maybe fans of his. You and I have kind of talked about that before, that maybe there isn't a huge, like, you know, cross section of that fan base, but he does bring those outside eyes. Not a fan of his music, not necessarily a fan of him or the angle, but I do see it, you know, I do understand it, because this is something that they do almost every year. Right. This isn't new, you know, this is just the 2021 version of whatever it was with Pete Rose or, you know, anyone else.
Right. Machine Gun Kelly.
Exactly. 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 So I do believe, though, that I know that they've had talks about doing NXT India and NXT Japan. I know COVID and whatnot has kind of derailed some of that for now, but I would think that this could be a good setup for building up Latin America, South America, Mexico, you know, however. And I think his presence does a lot to kind of broaden that audience too.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? Honestly, man, to get into this match, he did a great job.
He did a great job. And I was, you know, the more I watched it, I was like, you know, I'm kind of impressed here that he's put in the work to, you know, learn some of these crazy maneuvers that, you know, only these guys do. And my goodness.
Right. And dude, and it's even little stuff. Like he did little stuff, right? He held the friggin' tag rope.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nobody holds the tag rope.
Yeah. No, he, you know, I put a thing on here. I'll give him credit. He didn't phone it in, you know, at all. He tried. And he tried, and it went off well. Yeah. I'd go as far as to say that he did better than some actual wrestlers on some regular TV shows.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, one of the things that I was concerned about with going into the match was, you know, these are guys, he's in there wrestling with guys that have done this their entire, you know, adult lives. They've been doing this since they were teenagers. They've been, you know, this has been their career. And it was one of those things where it was hard for me to watch guys that had been doing that get knocked around by this guy that came in from, you know, making records and decided that he wanted to be a wrestler for a couple of days. But he showed that that's not the whole case. Like, he actually could hold his own. And I don't think, as much as I was worried about it taken away from them, as much as I was worried about it making them look weak, it didn't make them look weak at all. It made them look like they had trouble with a competent opponent.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. Again, going back into this, I'm not a fan of seeing him there for exactly what you just said. You have credible people and, you know, obviously ones that, you know, kind of losing a spot to this random music artist. But the same sense, extra eyes on the product, and he did really well. I do have a couple things. We've got a couple of funny comments here.
Yeah. I'm gonna pause you for a second, Tom. I gotta pause the recording. Lily needs to go out. She's barking at me, so
I gotcha. Cool. Couple notes I thought were kind of funny. So I was also texting Kyler, our friend Kyler, during this as well. And he sends me a message that says, John Morrison has the Becky Lynch haircut. It just made me laugh because it was so true.
Yeah. And so that led me into, you know, he's calling himself Johnny Drip Drip right now. And it sounds like a freaking STD. But then, you know, going from John Morrison to Becky Lynch, if Becky Lynch started calling herself Becky Drip Drip, that just sounds X-rated. So, you know,
so good.
Hopefully they don't, when she comes back, which I thought was going to happen, you know, during the weekend, but spoiler alert, it did not. I was hoping she would come back, and I was just hoping that they wouldn't have any kind of crossover and have that happen. Like the, what was the one, the submission sorority, where WWE didn't look that up and they started calling Paige Becky Mission Sorority, and then find out that that's actually like a porn site.
Yeah, I remember. I forgot about that. Yeah. boy, I swear.
Which led to the great name, the PCB, because, you know, that's so cool and catchy.
Panama City Beach?
Yeah, right?
So after the Bad Bunny match, which, okay, fine, it, that was what it was, and it was a lot more impressive than I thought it was going to be. You know, but before we jump into the main event of night one, you'd have wrote about this, and they aired what, two or three of these, the Joe Average commercials.
Yeah. So I feel like this is the only reason we should even have the 24/7 title anymore. These were entertaining as hell to me for some reason.
And well, I'll tell you why. So Joe Average, whose ring name now is like Rick Boogers, I don't know, whatever. But he debuted in NXT. You have to look this up, February of 2019. And if you've not seen it, it might be the greatest like 6 or 7 minutes of WWE television history.
Really?
It is fantastic. Okay. Wrestles he wrestles Drew Gulak, but I don't know that it's a wrestling match, as it's like watching a rock show. It's incredible because it was so different. It's funny because I've actually gone back and watched it like three or four times since. He's one of my favorites. And okay. why he doesn't have a bigger spot anywhere is beyond me. But I was so happy to see him in those as Joe Average, because I was like, oh my God, it's Eric Bugenhagen.
And you were the only one, aside from his mother, who said that. Yeah. But no, man, like, yeah, he looks like he's got the look. I'm going to have to go back and watch that match now, because I love Drew Gulak. So,
oh, and the cool thing with Eric is, or Rick Bugis, whatever, he's a metalhead, so he plays some like killer guitar too.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. In fact, I think that's his Twitter handle. It's like Metalhead Beefcake or something. He's great. He's one of those like deep cuts on NXT, and I really didn't watch a whole lot the last year, so I don't know if he shows up here and there, but I would follow his run in 19 to see, you know, if he would show back up on TV, and it wasn't much, but he was doing a lot of live events.
Okay. So, all right. So we'll skip the other note that I had in there about the commercials, because I've got a whole nother, we've got a whole nother show that we're going to do on games. The other commercial was WWE 2K22. But we'll skip that one for now, because
yeah.
We've got a whole,
let's put that off on another one. I think that's a good thing to talk about, though.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's get with that. Let's get into the main event of night one, which was Bianca Belair and Sasha Banks. And holy crap, what a match.
Oh, yes. You know, been a fan of both for, you know, ever since they both, you know, basically showed up in NXT. My goodness. That was incredible. I certainly wasn't, you know, I knew going into it that I was going to get something great, and not just because of Sasha Banks or not just because of Bianca Belair, but the two of them were just so talented that I knew that they could just make something seem simple times 10 and make it just amazing, and that was the entire match.
Oh, absolutely, man. It was from start to finish, you know, just edge of your seat, just an awesome match. I loved it. I don't think we could have asked for a better match between the two of them. I don't think that there was a better match on the card.
No.
They were deserved of that main event status. It was the best show or best match of the night.
Yeah. On night one, I'll give it, and just because of the fact that there was a title change, if you will, too. I'll give it the edge over the Rollins Cesaro match, just on the sheer fact that it was just as entertaining, it was just as hard hitting, and it was incredible. And I think you had a note on here too. Toward the end about the hair slap. It's like, wow, that was loud. But then that pop when she won the match. Wow.
Yeah, and there were just moves throughout, man, that were mind-blowing. The where Bianca Belair had the roll through and then picks Sasha up, presses her over her head, and walks her back up the stairs and into the ring. Like, you know, obviously women are lighter than men, and so it's a little bit, I don't want to say easier for that to, you know, for the women to do that than the men, but it doesn't matter, because it was incredible. And it's not something that I would say probably 95% of the talent on the roster couldn't do that. She's just, Bianca is just such an incredible athlete and such an incredible wrestler. And good God, she deserved it, man. That was a fantastic match by both of them. The hair whip, Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
That hurt me.
Yeah, yeah. And that's been a fun move to watch ever since her time in NXT. just because it was different.
Right.
You know, but that was certainly the loudest it's ever been.
Well, and you could see the lash on Sasha's side. Like, she was legit cut from that.
Yeah.
Like, that was, dude, that was bad. Bad in a good way. Holy crap. I would not want to feel that.
No. But very, very great finish to, you know, there was a lot of things on night one that I could take it or leave it, you know, with, you know, Bad Bunny and just, you know, some of the goofiness there. And then, you know, of course, the Braun and Shane stuff and, you know, those things. But you had a lot of quality wrestling there. I was not disappointed. I think night one was pretty good.
Yeah, night one was good. Full disclosure, night one was the only night that I was able to watch, you know, completely with my head in it completely, because I had to work Sunday night. So Sunday night, you know, night two of WrestleMania, we took notes, we did the same thing. And somehow I ended up with more notes. I don't know if it was because I was so, my attention was so fragmented or what, but, man, night two was pretty good too.
Yeah. Yeah. And you had a note on here about the, Ashlyn Kraft, who did America the Beautiful. Now, I did not see this. So I have no frame of reference. I didn't go back and watch that. Sorry.
No, hey, listen, man, all I'm saying, I didn't know who Ashlyn Kraft was beforehand. I had heard of BB Rexha. Ashlyn Kraft did a great job. I'm going to give the edge to BB Rexha, and, you know, maybe that's partially because of what my eyes were telling me.
Fair enough.
He was certainly talented, absolutely talented, did a great job. And this is just me being a horrible, toxic male. but let's get into the open. So the open was Titus and Hogan in pirate gear, which was fantastic.
Way better than night one.
Yeah. And then we went right into one of the matches I was really looking forward to, which was Randy Orton versus The Fiend. And of course, you know, The Fiend had been walking around looking like a melted candle until he somehow was reborn. You know, one of the notes that I'd put down in here is when Randy was walking down to the ring, he was being very deliberate and he was wiping his boots a lot. And I was wondering, because it had rained in Tampa earlier that day too, and I was wondering if he wasn't just trying to make sure he didn't replicate Mandy Rose falling.
That's very possible, or that was a complete dig at her.
Like, I don't know, man, but he was like super deliberate about it. And I'm like, oh, dude, that's terrible. But yeah, getting into the match, I mean, it was a cool entrance. Alexa Bliss, so very creepy in this role.
Yeah, I kind of dig it. You know, really excited to kind of see where this goes forward with her, because, you know, can't really say I've been a huge fan of this, some of the stuff she's done with Bray or The Fiend, whatever. It's been a little, just not my cup of tea. You know, like, I'll reference Bischoff again. You know, we said it's like a buffet. This is a dish that I'm not necessarily going to go for. But the creepy thing, I kind of like this. I kind of like where this is going.
See, now I'm now again going back to the buffet analogy. This is right up my alley. I'm here for this. And I thought that the entrance was awesome. So Alexa comes down. There's a giant Jack in the Box sitting there with a pentagram on it, and she turns the handle and. Obviously, you know who pops out of the top. It's The Fiend, and he's, again, he doesn't have a melty candle face anymore. He's been reborn. And you would put a note in here about how they should have started this one.
Yeah, I firmly believe that he pops out of that box. Randy should have just climbed it and RKO'd him right off the stop.
You know, no, and I thought you were going to say something like he should have dropped something in the box, like, you know, a monster or something like that.
Well, he could have done that too, knowing Orton. That's not out of the realm of possibility.
But I was kind of surprised it wasn't a squash. And I actually learned afterwards. This was an okay match. I was disappointed. But I felt like if you were really trying to make somebody look strong and you really wanted to make this a meaningful match, that the Fiend comes out, he's reborn, he just obliterates Randy, and then you move on.
Yeah. The only thing this match does is it does boost Alexa Bliss toward the, you know, with the finish of this. I've seen the interpretation of it was a turn on the Fiend. I don't know that I necessarily, I don't know that I see that. You know, they say the turn on the Fiend because Orton quick RKO then over with. But I don't see it that way necessarily. I kind of see it as, and you kind of mentioned this, Sister Abigail.
Yeah. So first of all, a couple notes about the match itself. At one point they referred to the Jack in the Box as a box like structure, which made me laugh, bad because I was at work and I'm sitting there and I'm just giggling to myself like an idiot. And they're looking at me like, what the hell is wrong with him? And I was like, oh, wrestling. And they're like, oh, okay. And then they didn't talk to me the rest of the night. but no, you know, that, and then you'd put the note about the red lighting, which.
Oh, yeah.
I agree with you 100%.
I don't, you know, and that's one thing. I went to a Raw 3 years ago or so. I don't know when it was. And, you know, in the commercial time, it really reminded me of the same thing. So they've turned on the lighting and I mean, it's not red, but it's kind of got the red hue because of the big Raw signs. And it's, it sort of reminds me of, and I don't really like it. It just, yeah, I get it because it's dark and it's the Fiend and it's supposed to be that way. But I understand the gimmick, but it just, again, it doesn't do it for me, you know?
Yeah, I feel like it's, and it's got to be hard for the people in the stadium, which, and it's so weird to say that again, you know, something we've completely glossed over is the fact that there were actually people there.
Yeah, like 40,000 people there. You know, so
good God, was that a welcome, mm-hmm. welcome thing to see people back in the stands. And I can't wait till we can get back to some semblance of normal and have that at every show going forward.
Yes. Agreed. Agreed. Wow. That was cool. That was great to see just that too. But yeah, no, the red lighting there doesn't do it for me. You know, I just not a fan of that at all.
So then the way this ends is Alexa Bliss looking super duper strange with some kind of, it looked like a crown of thorns, like from the Bible when Jesus was crucified and they put the crown of thorns on him. It looked like that, but it must have had these lines coming up to it that pumped out black liquid. And that was streaming down her face. She's sitting with her legs crossed on top of the box. And, you know, there's been so much biblical reference made to it and stuff. And it's been really weird, that I've seen people putting online, and Bray himself, or the Fiend himself, actually posted a picture on Twitter of Samson and Delilah.
Hmm.
And so, you know, he always posts weird stuff on Twitter, and people are reading into that, and who knows? I mean, maybe it's been answered by now because Raw's just about over. We obviously aren't watching, but maybe they answered that. So it'll be interesting to see where that goes. But what happens is she's sitting up there. It distracts the Fiend. Randy hits an RKO, wins the match, takes off, and that's that. So now, because I'm, you know, a giant nerd, I go on the dirt sheets and I go on the websites. And apparently the original finish was for Bray to go over. And then Randy was going to take time off. And they were going to write him off of TV for a while with that match. But then at the last minute, Vince and Bruce Pritchard, in their infinite wisdom, changed the finish.
And it's weird. And I think the reason why I was so taken aback by the one RKO finish is because here you have a guy that just months ago, it took like a toolbox to the head like 15 times. to put him down. And the night before in the Braun and Shane match, they bring out the same toolbox. And it's like, so I realize that you're still calling back to that, realize completely different storyline, completely different thing. But then it's like, okay, one RKO, done.
It just doesn't make any sense when you, when you're trying to build this guy as some inhuman demon monster thing, to have him be able to be taken out by one RKO just because he gets distracted. It's dumb. It's,
exactly.
It makes no sense. It completely deflates the character, takes away any strength that they might have garnered. They look weak as hell, and that is not what you're, that's not what you should be doing with this unstoppable monster of a character.
No, no, not at all. But, you know, I won't say anything because I watched part of Raw, and so I got to see some of what happened.
Okay.
But we won't talk about that here because this is a WrestleMania show.
Okay.
So moving forward though, real quick note, Bischoff was on screen. And again, anyone that listens to this will find that I'm like, again, just a huge fan. So I was happy to see him there. It makes sense. 2021 induction.
Yeah.
Into the Hall of Fame.
Easy.
Yeah. So, but moves to the next match. And this would be something we alluded to earlier with the Tamina and Natalya versus Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler. And it was a good match. A couple sloppy spots, but what'd you think?
I thought it was a good match. I think that those two teams make up a great mix. They have great chemistry in the ring. I think that they're, especially for Natty and Tamina being together for such a short time, I feel like they've really gelled, and obviously they must be putting in the work, you know, off TV and everything. But I think that that's a good rivalry, and I'm interested to see where this goes. There were a couple, like you said, there were a couple little sloppy areas. But you know, it is what it is. I wish there would have been a callback, and I'm going to say this every time Nia Jax is in the ring now. I want there to be a callback to My Hole, because that was one of the funniest things I've ever seen in wrestling ever in my entire life, and I'll never not laugh at it.
Yeah, that was great, and I love them to come back to that too, because it was so good. It was so funny. But this match overall, good match. I can't say it was certainly, you know, my favorite of either night, but I will say, here's a great thing about it. Another great solid match. And I go back to saying this, the tag team turmoil thing that came up to this. Again, I like seeing the different teams, and I love seeing the Riot Squad and that. And then the build with the little bit of the build that we got with Tamina and Natalya. But I just really wish I would have seen more of a build just for those two for this particular match.
Right.
You know, that's just my personal opinion. But again, we've already discussed that, so here we are.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing is, it's a good, I really wish, I understand the reason why you didn't have Tamina and Natty win, being the new tag team on the block. I personally would have liked to see them win, give Natty another WrestleMania moment. You know, but I feel like this builds up some steam for them, and hopefully it culminates in a really good rivalry for that, for the women's tag team titles that can go on for a little bit. Right. You know, they teased for so long that Shayna and Nia were going to break up, and looks like they're not, so good, because they need strong tag teams. Just like, I mean, the men's division, I've kind of given up on any tag team sticking around except for the New Day. But they, you know, cause they seem to kill them. Hopefully they don't replicate that mistake with the women's division.
Exactly. No, solid match. And like I said, hopefully they don't screw this up, but they will.
Oh, they will. Cause it's the E, man. That's what they do.
So it moves into our next match though, of two of my personal favorites.
Yes.
You know, Kevin Steen and El Generico.
No, El Generico is gone.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Oh, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. That's right.
Yes, yes. Jericho's gone. Don't forget.
That's right.
He and Sami Zayn were not the same person.
That's right. Okay, I forgot about that.
No.
These two guys have been around the block for years and years and years. I've seen, you have too. Some of their, they can work together. Probably almost better than any other two right now in the WWE. And then they have to interject it with Logan Paul.
Right. I mean, here's the thing. This was, as excited as I was for The Fiend and for the Randy Orton match, this was the match that I really wanted to see and that I really wanted to concentrate on and that I was really looking forward to until they threw Logan Paul in there.
Yeah.
I don't understand why we have to have a YouTube celebrity involved in WrestleMania, but they did it. It is what it is. I think the story is, I guess it made sense for the storyline where for those who haven't been really paying attention, Sami Zayn has been saying that there's a conspiracy against him to keep him down. And that's why he lost the IC title and this whole big thing. And he enlisted Logan Paul to help him spread his message about this to the world. I get it. It makes sense. But it wasn't my favorite storyline. That said, storyline to me, when you're throwing Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn in a ring, storyline is secondary to the action that's actually going to take place in the ring or what should take place in the ring.
Right.
Overall, I thought it was a good match. I don't feel like they gave them the time that they deserved. And I feel like shoehorning Paul in there just, it took away from it, man. They didn't let Sammy and Kevin be Sammy and Kevin.
No, it's funny. Outside of the Logan Paul shenanigans, the funny thing was watching that match, it's like playing a video game and you always hit the strong move button. Because that's all they were doing is power move after power move.
Right.
Like the entire match, it was just like one-upsmanship, and they're just like hitting like these insane, like, their power moves basically.
Right.
And they just did it over and over again. At one point, Kevin got dropped on his neck after he had like two brain busters in a row. And the first one I didn't like it. Nothing against Sammy or Kevin.
Right.
Didn't look good. But I would have liked to see 10 more minutes on that match.
And that's the thing. And I don't put any blame on Kevin or Sammy on this one. I feel like they were trying to get out there and put on the best show they could with the limited amount of time that they gave.
Right.
And I think that they did that. But I think if they were given more time, the match would have been 10 times better than it was. And especially, again, if they didn't have to shoehorn Logan Paul in there. I was glad that Kevin Owens gave him a stunner.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Hell, I was too. I just don't like him in there. I will say this, though. It's so cool to see those two get a match at a WrestleMania.
Oh, absolutely. I'm here for any time they want to put Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn on my TV together. I'm for it. I mean, it could be, hell, put them in a bra and panties match. I don't even care. I'd watch it. I'd have strange feelings during it, but I'd watch it.
It's always good to see those guys. And I agree. They're, they're on TV. I'm watching it. And that was probably the match I was looking most forward to. Didn't disappoint, but the Logan Paul stuff just didn't help. Right. But then it moved into this really bizarre segment with Matt Riddle and the Great Khali. And couldn't quite figure out what happened until good old Mr. Monday Night showed up.
Thank God. The savior.
The exchange between Rob and Riddle, my wow, so good, so good.
RVD rolling papers, baby.
And RVD, I mean, I believe he's what 50 now. Well, it looks like he could still go.
Yeah.
So kind of wish they would have.
He was still going in TNA.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, his contract just ended with TNA.
That's right. Yeah.
So
yeah, I kind of wish he would have another match here in the WWE, but
dude, I would love to see either a tag team or a program between Riddle and RVD.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be fantastic. Now, well, you know me, I've been a Rob fan for many, 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 many years, and always glad to see him out there. You know, and that little segment last night was fantastic. So, and it was cool to see the Great Khali too. And I realized that both of those guys were going to the Hall, but you know, Khali is one of those, even though he was never the best wrestler or whatever, best worker, he was one of those interesting people to see in the ring just because he was so big.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But so anyway, that kind of leads into the Riddle and Sheamus match. We don't have a whole lot of notes on this. It was a pretty hard hitting match. Riddle get like basically kicked in the mouth at one point. And that's what, you know, that was like, kind of like the big takeaway on this was the Sheamus winning this. And I kind of read up on this, kind of like you, big nerd, follow the sites. The whole reason why Riddle lost that title and went over to Sheamus was originally the title was supposed to be for Keith Lee.
Oh.
And Keith Lee was supposed to have a run with it until whatever happened there. So it goes to. I really don't know.
Mia Yim had COVID, and that's his fiance. And so
right.
She had COVID. He ended up, I don't know if he ended up getting it or if he ended up just out of precaution, they kept him out. That's why.
Yeah. So the whole time Riddle was never supposed to be champion. That was supposed to be Keith Lee. So Riddle was just kind of like a placeholder champion from what my understanding is. Now why Sheamus has it, I don't know. I guess because it gives Sheamus something to do, and he is, you know, still a pretty famous wrestler. So,
well, Sheamus was involved with an angle between Drew McIntyre, Keith Lee, and himself.
That's right. Yeah.
Earlier in the year, so this may be setting up Keith Lee to return to feud with Sheamus for it.
Very good. Yeah, that very well could be. That makes sense now. So moving forward, though,
I didn't get to see much of that match. I saw the modified brogue kick that drew blood. But then we lead into I had to put the note in there because, you know, I do not like Baron Corbin. I mean, which is good because he's a heel. And right. So he's doing his job. He's a good heel. I don't like him. But the Snickers commercial might have made me like him a little bit. Because he's supposed to look, he's like in the dressing room and he's like, the gloves fit good, but I don't think the rest of it. And he comes out and he's like, yeah, I'm supposed to be a biker. And they had him dressed up in like a cyclist's outfit. And the lady goes, oh, it's because of the reflectors. And she goes over and
turns them on. Yeah.
That was good. I was dying.
That was a great, that was funny. It was a good commercial. Yeah, I don't like him either, but that was funny.
But back to the actual wrestling. So next was the Nigerian drum match. And this was between, you know, our boy Big E Langston. Oh, wait, mm-hmm. I'm sorry. We're not allowed to say Langston anymore, are we?
No.
So it's Big E, Mr. 3 Ain't Enough, Man, Gimme 5, and Apollo Crews, who apparently has recently discovered that he is actually of Nigerian descent.
And I wrote on here and I thought, okay, maybe this is a callback to his previous character, Uha Nation, and other people apparently had the same thought. But here's the thing, I had never really done my homework because I had seen him wrestle prior to, but I never saw any promo work, and he'd never used an accent.
Yeah, so this is like reverse completely Kofi different. Kingston.
Exactly. He went
from not having an accent to all of a sudden having an accent, and it sounds like he's trying to imitate Chadwick Boseman's Black Panther.
Which would make sense given the type of match that they threw them in.
Right. Nigerian drum match, which they never really explained. Basically, it was like a no holds barred match, I guess. This was another match that I was super excited for. It's, you know, two of the most muscular athletic dudes in the Federation. And good God, can they go, man? They can do moves that you wouldn't think that people their size should be able to do.
You know, you and I have been fans of Big E for a long time. And I'm hoping at some point that he gets his, you know, world title, big world title runs, because he's certainly charismatic, amazing on the mic, and his in-ring work is almost second to none. So he's more than ready for that. And then you have a note on here. It was a good match until another, you know, Gigantor, whatever, whoever, Avocado?
I don't know how to pronounce it because I didn't really pay attention to Raw Underground, but it was Dabakato. I'm going to say Avocado. I'm not going to say Avocado because if he somehow figures out where I live and he comes to my house, he's going to beat the shit out of me. So I'm going to give him all the respect in the world. I call him Dabakato. He's from Raw Underground, which was that ill-fated segment on Raw that Shane McMahon ran that was part strip club, part fight club. And I don't know what his name is going to be now in this angle, but that's who that was. So he comes out, you know, he's going to win the match, and Dabakato comes out and just completely wrecks him and puts Apollo Crews on him. And Apollo Crews is your new Intercontinental Champion.
Yeah. You know, this match did not need that, just because you have two supremely talented individuals. And again, this whole WrestleMania, you have like, you know, Cesaro and Rollins and Owens and Zayn. Yeah, you know, you have Belair and Banks. You have this theme of these incredible people going against each other, and then you screw this up with Avocado.
Right.
That's how I took it. I actually missed the finish, but then I didn't go back and watch, but I actually read up on it, and it figures. You know, it's another way to get another one of Vince's big guys, you know, big monsters, some time, and it's like, I don't know. You're just taken away from Big E and Apollo Crews to me. So
right.
So moving on, we both kind of noted this. They had this like random ghost ship effect.
Yeah,
that was cool. It reminded me of Disney World.
Yeah. Pirates.
Yeah. It was really, really cool. I'm always a sucker for cool graphics, and so that was certainly one there. But then this is when we got to our Hall of Fame class of 2021 stuff. Again, great to see RVD and Bischoff going in. And then, you know, the mayor of Knoxville, Tennessee, gets inducted.
With
Kane, which is awesome.
Yeah, with Ozzy Osbourne, no less.
Yeah. And I thought about this, and because they ran several commercials throughout WrestleMania, I really think if Kane's going in this year and Taker wasn't on this year's, Taker's going in 22.
Yeah.
It's in Texas. Yeah. I mean,
yeah, you got to, man. That's just, they're going to do that.
But overall, this was such a strong Hall of Fame class. You have just so many talented people. The only thing I felt kind of bad for, was the guy that won the Warrior Award.
Yeah.
Like that poor guy, like, got no audience reaction whatsoever.
No.
It's like, bad. Like, poor Rich Herring's been working for Vince McMahon for like 50 plus years. The guy has put up with Vince's crap for that long, and he gets the Warrior Award, and everyone's like, Who are you?
I'm kind of upset about is that Molly Holly got inducted into the hall without fans, because I really wanted the Hurricane to induct her as Mighty Molly.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That's the way that should have been. But I'm glad she was there, because she was instrumental in that, you know, resurgence, of real women's wrestling back in the Attitude Era and beyond.
Right.
Days, so.
Speaking of women, you know, women's wrestling, the next match was an awesome match, one that I was looking forward to too. We had Rhea Ripley versus Asuka, and Asuka is one of my favorite female wrestlers of all time. Absolutely love her. You know, Rhea Ripley looks like she's the future, or at least part of a very large part, no pun intended, of the future of women's wrestling.
Yeah.
He towers over everybody in that division. You know, aside from like your Nia Jax and your Tamina, who I hear nobody's Mina. That was bad. Yeah. That was bad. I feel bad.
I gave it to you though. That's good.
Yeah, I appreciate it. But, but yeah, man, like this to me was going to be one of the best matches on the card. And I liked it.
Yeah, it was good. And I completely agree. Ripley, you know, 24 there. It's ridiculous. I've been a fan, you know, first saw her, I think it was the first Mae Young Classic, and she looked completely different. Like, she wasn't all, you know, like with the spikes and the craziness, but, you know, just always like a fan of her work.
Dude, and she's jacked, man.
Yeah. Yeah. And, Asuka's been, you know, ever since her just like that long run in NXT, kind of undefeated, just absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
So cool to see these two again. And again, like I said before, it kind of goes with this recurring theme of place these really strong people together. And this was another instance of that. You know, you made a comment on here, you know, yeah, best, one of the best matches in the overall card, which is exactly true. I don't know that it got the attention or the time necessarily that they deserved. But man, they hit on each other quite a bit. The only thing that I kind of wondered here was, you know, how's this finish? And you made an interesting comment here. You know, title change.
Yeah, yeah, we've seen a lot, man, a lot of title changes on this show, and I feel like it's almost too many.
Yeah, it was weird. I always expect there to be title changes at Mania. You know, that's just part of it, because you kind of hit the reset button between Mania and then like the Raw after Mania and all that mess, moving forward into the summertime. And it just seemed like I agree. It's like, well, every time we have a title match, it's like, well, someone's going to walk out with it that, you know, didn't have it before, or, you know, it just changes hands.
Right.
It was interesting.
And that, I mean, that's the perfect setup for, well, after another Bayley moment, which, dude, I mean, the only thing it got us was that John Cena comment with the Bellas, which, dude, I'm not sure if that wasn't a real slap.
Yeah, well, she comes out again and does that stuff, and I'm like, you know, whatever, just not into it. And then she says the John Cena thing, and I was like, oh my god, like that was pretty wild. That was pretty impressive.
Yeah, to set this up, so Titus and Hogan come back out and they're talking, and Bayley comes out and she's all pissy because she hasn't been getting the recognition she deserves, and which, dude, honestly, I agree with. But, you know, it just played into her role for this night. And then she gets interrupted by the Bella's music. So Nikki and Brie come out and she goes, "What are you guys doing here?" Now, obviously, they just got inducted into the Hall of Fame. So we know why they're there. They were part of that class. Well, she goes, "What are you doing here? John Cena's not even here." And friggin' Nikki just hauls off. And again, I'm sure it was kayfabe, but I don't know, man. That might have been a little realism in that one.
Yeah, there was a little extra on that one.
But that brings us into the main event, which was Edge versus Daniel Bryan versus Roman Reigns, the tribal chief, the head of the table, Paul Heyman's new dude. So just a little background on this, so I don't have to hide my bias. We're allowed, this week is telecommunicator week at my work, well, nationally, so we're able to wear civilian clothes. Well, I had my maroon Daniel Bryan shirt on and my powder blue Philly shirt because they go together. But I had my Philly shirt over my Daniel Bryan, or my Philly's jersey over my Daniel Bryan shirt. So you know who I was rooting for in this one.
Was that the no-no-no one or the yes-yes-yes one?
I didn't get the no-no-no one. I should have, but I got the yes-yes-yes one.
Okay.
trying to get rid of the negativity.
Yeah, okay. I gotcha. Stay positive.
Yeah.
Now, Edge's entrance on this was one of the better entrances I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And mainly because it was so over the top with fireworks and, you know, that was fantastic. Now, I agree. Again, yeah, we've seen some cool stuff with The Undertaker. I'm not saying that this was better than any of that. But for the night, he had the best entrance.
Yeah.
You know, it was a great. So that was so cool. But this match started off like, ugh.
Yeah.
Didn't like the way it started. You know, it was like, they're all down on the ground. There's been interference left and right. I just wasn't a fan of that.
And honestly, you know, so here's the thing. I'm a fan of Roman Reigns, the human being. I think I'm a fan of him being in WWE. I'm not necessarily a fan of him as far as being the champion. I feel like he's a good heel. I feel like he does good work, but just like his punches are terrible. Obviously, again, he's in WWE. I'm sitting here making a podcast, so he's clearly more talented than me. But just some of the moves he makes, some of the stuff he does, it just rubs me the wrong way. I don't really dig him in this match. I don't think he should have gone over. I thought Edge should have gone over. I thought Daniel Bryan should have gone over. Anybody but him. But it makes sense. The finish made sense.
Yeah, I agree. You know, it's funny. I always think with Reigns, almost like when John Cena debuted. And I didn't care for Cena when he first came up at all. I just was not a fan. But then as time went on, I really understood and respected like his work. You know, the five moves of doom kind of really wasn't true. He really could do some interesting things, and he was dynamite on the mic. And that's what made him special. You know, he had the mic skills. The one thing with Reigns is that, he's not quite the five moves of doom. He's close. You know, let's do the Samoan drop and let's do the Superman punch and let's do, you know, the spear. You know, he does put the work in. Does not have the mic skills, even to this day. And that's why Paul's with him.
Right.
You know, which obviously, you know, I'm sucking for Paul Heyman anytime, but this is the most that I've liked his character. But a lot of that's because Paul's with him.
Exactly.
Otherwise, if he's not with him, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, the nice thing is I feel like it's revitalized Jey Uso. And, you know, Paul being involved always makes me, makes me a fan. But
right.
If you were to take Paul Heyman away from Roman Reigns,
I'm not necessarily lining up to see Roman Reigns anymore.
No, and in my head, I'm thinking as I'm watching this, and I obviously, you know, it makes sense storyline-wise for Reigns to go over, but before the match finishes, because of the style that is and no disqualification, I'm thinking at some point Lesnar's going to run out, you know.
Right.
Because that is just what happens at WrestleMania, something goofy. And obviously it didn't happen.
Right.
And I'm glad it didn't happen because, you know, as much as I hate to say it, this makes sense moving forward. And you alluded to this, and I can't remember if we talked about this during a podcast or just you and I having a conversation, but this obviously kind of, you know, moves Daniel Bryan and Edge to have kind of a program themselves moving into like SummerSlam season.
Right. And that's the silver lining that I have from this one is, all right, cool. We've got the animosity now between Daniel Bryan and Edge because Edge feels like Daniel Bryan interfered and forced his way into the match. Similar to what, if we look at WrestleMania from a few years ago when Ronda Rousey and Charlotte and Becky Lynch had their match, and Becky Lynch was pissed off at Charlotte for weaseling her way into the title picture and the title match. So it's kind of almost a rehash of that, but I feel like it's going to set up this Daniel Bryan versus Edge feud to go forward from here, going and possibly with the blow off being at SummerSlam, as long as they can both, you know, maintain their health and, you know, and if that's what, you know, I don't know how long Edge plans on sticking around this tour. I don't know, you know, what any of their plans are, obviously. Right. But if he's sticking around for a while, that would make sense.
Yeah, in my head, and again, I remember I also thought Lesnar was going to show up last night, and that didn't happen. but in my mind, if this Daniel Bryan and Edge thing, you know, comes to fruition, I can see it working at SummerSlam. I can see Daniel Bryan leaving at SummerSlam. I can see Edge lasting until next WrestleMania, and that's it.
Yeah.
You know, but we'll see. That wraps up WrestleMania, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, that is our WrestleMania recap. Overall, I thought it was a good show. I'm still not really a fan of the two nights. I mean, it helps get a lot more people involved, but dude, it's a lot of wrestling and I love wrestling. You love wrestling, but holy crap. Yeah, it's like the Snyder Cut on steroids.
Yeah, it really is. You know, and I caught a bit of Raw tonight, but you know, I don't want to say anything on that. But again, think about all those hours of 3 days in a row, you know?
Right. Right. And with the SmackDown, you know, the WrestleMania SmackDown leading up to it, the NXT Stand and Deliver that was what, two nights, three nights, you know, like we've had a good like nine straight days of wrestling. So, you know, it gets a little tough.
Yeah. 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 It's, you know, it's funny. I always love this time of year with it because there's so much of it. And then it's like, I don't know if I could stand to watch all of it, you know? So,
yeah,
but, I think that wraps that up, but let's frame up our next one. We're gonna do video games.
Yeah, I've got some good notes. You know, you had brought up some good ideas as far as some stuff we should do, talking about some retro games and maybe some forgotten games or games that people never really played before and stuff like that. And man, I kind of went off the deep end with it. I've got a ton of stuff planned, so we'll have to and even some NFL 2K5 updates.
Yes,
because I know everybody's on the edge of their seat with that, waiting to find out what kind of stupid stuff I found.
But yeah, we'll put our heads together on how we do a video game episode. Yeah, I threw an idea out there that was like, hey, let's talk about stuff that, you know, some of these games that, you know, maybe you and I played, that were not popular or just not common, or just like, oh yeah, I played that 20 years ago, it was awesome, but I just haven't thought about it since.
Right.
I thought it'd be cool to kind of revisit.
Yeah, man. So
we'll
all right, well, guys, until next time, we have been the Noise Brigade. Thank you for listening and have a good one.
Take care.